basically funding their existing level of staffing. And to be quite honest, if we budgeted it anything less, we would actually be taking staff away from them. And so there is not really a whole lot of discretion in this budget. Even if you did take the staff member away from them, we wouldn't be talking about appropriating $1 million, which is what this is approximately. We'd be talking about appropriating slightly less than that to take one of the lower FTEs away from them. So there isn't a whole lot of discretion. And this is an interstate compact and a requirement of Congress. And it was a unanimous vote out of the subcommittee.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to echo the words of the good Senator Cordley. I'll be voting for the bill to pass out today. I will, however, be reserving judgment on the bill based on the points that have already been made by colleagues. To a couple of comments that have been made, from the senator from Southern Oregon. I realize that these comments are all coming from one particular side of the aisle, and the quote or the paraphrase that I'm going to make did come from a gravelly voiced senator from Illinois. And I think while I'm moving the decimal point a point or two, $1 million here and $1 million there and $2 million someplace else, and pretty soon we've got real money. So I think for us to not be aware that when we pass these budgets out that they may not have an effect on the end game when the larger budgets come in is... to forget that piece of what I would call wisdom from the Republican Illinois Senator.
Thank you. Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to echo the sentiments of Representative Morgan and Witsit from the standpoint of we should know how much money we have in the bank before we begin to spend it. But I also realize that this committee has a great deal of work to do, and that I will support passing the budgets out today because I feel it's a good move forward for this committee, and it sends a message that we're here to do the people's business. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Berger?
Yes, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This is my first experience on Ways and Means, but I'm very curious because someone told me that it hasn't been that many years that co-chairs have even done a recommended budget. Right. I'd love to do a little bit of a historic search and see if in the last, when it actually started, that co-chairs had to have a budget, and then also in the last 4 years, were any bills put out early before the co-chairs had a budget before the Ways and Means? I think to get it in historic perspective before it's criticized, I think we need to know the history. Would Mr. Rocco be able to answer that for me?
Madam Chair, Senator Berger, in my recollection, co-chairs have generally put out a budget of some sorts. It varies in content and nature from session to session depending on the co-chairs. And if Senator Westland were here, he could talk to you about the ones that he had done. In the past, there have been budgets for what Senator Bates has mentioned, but small budgets have been done before that budget, co-chair budget, has been developed simply to clear the decks and to get on with some of the work we do. And normally, only other fund budgets are done first, and small general fund budgets, and I think that's what you're seeing today, are some budgets that have small amounts of general fund relative to the total state general fund. And I think this has been a fairly common practice.
Thank you. going to hold consideration for this budget for now, but we will move on and hear the, and have a discussion on the next bill. So I'm going to ask for a review of House Bill 5034. Representative Garrard.
And we're right back to the same situation, Madam Chair. House Bill 5034 is the budget bill for the Land Use Board of Appeals. The board has exclusive jurisdiction to hear appeals of land use decisions made by state agencies, local governments, and special districts. The board was established in 1979 to provide prompt, professional, and efficient resolution of land use issues and to create a consistent body of land use law. The Natural Resources Subcommittee approved a total budget of $1,480,575.06 FTE. The budget is equal to the governor's recommended budget and represents a 9.9% increase over the 2005-07 legislatively approved budget. The subcommittee also reviewed and approved the agency's performance measures. Five measures from the 05-07 biennium were retained, and four measures were deleted as key performance measures for the 07-09 biennium. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5034 be reported out do pass.
Okay. Any discussion on that bill beyond the discussion we've already had?
Just to reiterate my previous point, Madam Chair, that approximately $1.5 million of this budget is general fund.
Okay. All right. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nolan. I think Mr. Rocco opined that we might spend as much as 5% of our general fund budget in this manner, a little piecemeal at a time. 5% of $14 billion is $700 million. That's almost 20 times the entire biennial budget of the Oregon State Police Patrol Division. So that's a lot of money. And I will support this at this time. But I think that I don't want to beat a dead horse to death, but I mean, I want to make that point clear. Thank you.
I think your point has been very clearly registered, Senator.
Thank you.
Hearing that comment, further discussion on House Bill 5034? Is there objection? I'm sorry, Representative?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to, and I'm sorry for not kind of telling you this prior to this, but I'm going to be voting no on the bill, and not necessarily for the reasons that have been expressed here today, or the concerns that have been expressed here today, but instead because I believe this particular group has become far too political and their judgments that they're making. And I'll reserve those comments unless people want them at this particular point, and not block it or not try to block it from going to the floor.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Whitsitt, did I hear you were
supporting
this bill? In that case, I'll ask if there are any objections to moving this out. Further discussion? We're done with discussion. Objections, I'm noting Representatives Hanna, Morgan, and Jensen. Motion carries. Let's move to something a little later on the agenda. Shall we go to other business? Department of Transportation, Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Your Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends approval of the Oregon Department of Transportation's request to approve the submission of a federal grant application for $5 million to the Federal Highway Administration for a National Scenic Byways discretionary grant. Oregon's 5 designated All-American Road, 6 National Scenic Byways, and 9 Oregon Tour Routes are eligible for the National Scenic Byway discretionary grant. Oregon Scenic Byway Advisory Committee reviews, ranks, banks and then formally recommends which scenic byway applications proposed by various federal, state, county, and city entities will be submitted to the Federal Highway Administration. This discretionary grant requires 20% matching funds, which would come from the entities with both Oregon Scenic Byways Advisory Committee and Federal Highway Administration approved projects. The grant application deadline is March 19, 2007. Your Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion?
Any objections? So ordered. Department of Transportation, Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Your Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends approval of the Oregon Department of Transportation's request to approve the submission of a federal grant application for $150,000 to the Federal Transit Administration's Alternative Transportation in Parks and Public Lands Program to investigate an alternative alignment of the historic Columbia River Highway to the State Trail between Laurendale and Moffett Creek. The purpose of the federal grant program is to enhance the protection of national parks and federal lands and increase the enjoyment of those visiting them. The Department of Transportation estimates construction for this one-mile trail section is presently $9 million. The Historic Columbia River Highway Advisory Committee believes that obtaining funding for the present alignment would be very difficult and decided to investigate alternative alignments. This grant would provide funds to investigate an alternative alignment and design of a multi-use trail adjacent to Interstate 84 between Warrendale and Moffett Creek along the historic Columbia River Highway. If the grant is awarded, ODOT will be able to survey, develop trail alternatives, and further investigate potential concerns and design standards required by the Union Pacific Railroad. The new information will determine if a lower-cost alternative can be built. If a lower-cost alternative is not feasible, it is not likely this section of trail will be constructed. The grant does not require state matching funds, and no positions are required. The grant application deadline was February 16, 2007, with an award date of early 2007. The agency submitted notification of its request to apply for the grant to the co-chairs on February 7, 2007. Co-chair approval to schedule for a public hearing was too late to schedule before the filing deadline. And your Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends approval.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Public Employees Retirement System, Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. We've gotten to the point where the Public Employee Retirement System constitutes one of the less controversial elements of today's hearing, so that's great. So the General Government Subcommittee recommends that the committee acknowledge receipt of a report on the preliminary crediting of 2006 earnings received through investment of the Oregon Public Employees Retirement Fund regular account. Approximately $7.9 billion of the PERS regular account 2006 earnings will be credited to member employer accounts and to other reserves. ORS 238.670 requires PERS to submit a preliminary annual earnings crediting report to a legislative committee 30 days prior to final crediting to member employer accounts and reserves. The PERS board met February 16th and limited the number of crediting options it would consider to two, one that would leave the contingency reserve at $250 million and one that would increase the amount in the contingency reserve up to $500 million. The PERS board will make its final crediting decision at its next meeting to be held before the end of March. The two options mean that earnings crediting will result in Tier 1 member accounts receiving the statutorily guaranteed assumed earnings rate of 8% and between 15 and 15.58% earnings rate being credited to the benefits in forced reserve, employer reserves, and Tier 2 member regular accounts. Additionally, between 12.86% and 13.42% will be credited to the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan and 15.02% to the individual account program accounts. The General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Thank you, Representative. Any discussion? Any objections to receiving the report? So ordered. Let's return to House Bill 5011. We had a robust discussion on this bill already. The motion is to report the bill to the House with a due pass recommendation and the dash one amendments. Roll call, I think.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Hanna?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Gard?
Aye.
Representative Galizio?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Nolan?
Aye.
Senator Westland?
Aye.
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Senator Morse?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Whitson?
No.
Vice Chair Carter?
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Thank you. Senate Bill 5510, the Employment Department. Senator Berger.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. The Employment Department's mission is to support business and promote employment. To accomplish this mission, the agency administers the Unemployment Benefits Program, recruits and refers applicants to job openings, assists job seekers in their employment search, develops and distributes workforce and economic information, and inspects, certifies, and licenses child care facilities. The Office of Administrative Hearings adjudicates citizen and business disputes with state agencies. The subcommittee recommends a budget of $3,891,934 general fund, $1,802,167,772 total funds, and 1,273.35 full-time equivalent positions. The recommended budget includes fund shifts and reductions from the essential budget level in the unemployment insurance, business and employment services, and workforce and economic research program units resulting from cuts in federal support, as well as reductions in the Office of Administrative Hearings resulting from fewer unemployment benefits hearings. The subcommittee recommended approval of Package 401 that includes 25 limited duration positions to allow the Employment Department to provide job placement services to clients of not-for-profit and state agencies. These positions would be on a fee-for-service basis and would be filled only when sufficient workload and funding become available. Similar packages have been approved in the last five biennials. The subcommittee recommended approval of the proposed key performance measures, including a new measure to accommodate a change in how data is measured by the U.S. Department of Labor, and a new measure which measures against a standard imposed by the U.S. Department of Labor. The subcommittee approved deletion of six existing measures, which are either obsolete are better measured by the new measures that were approved. In addition, the subcommittee recommended adjustments to targets for Measure 8 and 9 related to timeliness of appeals orders from the Office of Administrative Hearings. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5510 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Senator.
I guess it's my turn. Discussion. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Once again, we're at the point where we're looking at a $1.8 billion all-funds budget. That includes $3.89 million in general fund. Question to the professional staff would be, in the other funds revenue that's denoted within the budget, what percentage of the dollars that come through other funds would be general fund dollars from other agencies?
Adam and Mr. Co-Chairs and Representative Hanna, again, those other fund dollars, are you speaking specifically Package 401? Is that your question?
Well, I just want it to be noted that within the other funds balance, that's almost $109 million. I just want to understand if there's an identifiable amount of general fund dollars from other agencies within that other funds balance.
Okay. Madam and Mr. Co-Chair and Representative Hanna, the majority of the funding that you're looking at is actually for unemployment insurance benefits. So the majority of the $1.8 billion is not other funds, or is not general fund, excuse me. There's $3.8 million in general fund for the child care division. And in terms of other funds from other agencies that might be general fund, you would see that in potentially package 401, depending on how those other agencies decide to fund those fee-for-service contracts to the employment department for those job placement services.
Follow up?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Michelle, when we get down to the point of the agency also receives other fund revenue from contracts with other state agencies to provide services, those funds from the other agencies, realizing that they are not the preponderance of the $109 million, what part of those funds are general fund dollars?
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Hanna, I don't have that in front of me in terms of how they come into the employment department. They actually come into the employment department as other funds. We have to look at who might actually wind up wanting to contract with the employment department to determine where those funds will be coming from and whether or not they will be general funds. They could very well be other funds or federal funds as well to fund those placement services. Know until we see the contracts.
Go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Committee members, I sat on this subcommittee. I asked these kind of questions. It drives home the point that as we look at what is listed as general fund expenditures, and then we see a budget with $109 million of other funds, when you're sitting on this subcommittee, you don't have the ability to tell for sure what percentage of the other fund dollars could be coming from general fund budgets of other agencies. We've heard we might spend $700 million in general fund dollars out of this entire budget. That's what we know of that is listed as general fund. I think this just brings home the point that we need to be very cautious as we move forward in this budget process. I have no problem with this agency. I think they did a fine job in the subcommittee. I voted no on this budget then, as I will today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other questions? Discussion? Representative Morgan.
Just a discussion point. Based on the discussion that we had in the subcommittee before we came, because of our inability to see the co-chair's budget and the overall game plan, and the fact that there is at least $4 million of general fund in this budget, I'm a no on this budget also.
Very good. Appreciate the response. Other discussion? Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I will be a no for the same reason. I think the good Representative Hanna was talking about the general fund component of those other funds. I think a large part of that may be in the Office of Administrative Hearings, where they contract with the Department of Employment to for that service. And I would surmise that there might be a significant part of that that particular part of the budget that does come from general fund from other agencies. So I will be a no. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, Senator Westland.
You know, someone who has been privileged to sit on this committee for a number of sessions, I'd just like to point out what many of us on this committee know. And this is very simply not just, you know, an effort to move this process forward. I mean, traditionally, we have always passed budgets with the minimum amounts of general fund in it before the co-chair's budget. The co-chairs in this session, thankfully, are hard at work to produce for the first time, in a while, a co-chair's budget that is legitimately going to reflect, and honor the Ways and Means process. So I think we should honor that process and honor the Ways and Means tradition, moving some of these largely other fund, federal fund budgets forward that have, you know, insignificant although important amounts of general fund in them.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, sir. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. There were several members from the Senate side who were not present when I spoke a little bit earlier. So I with your indulgence, wish to repeat the comment I made on a previous budget, quoting or paraphrasing Senator Dirksen from Illinois, you know, in moving the decimal point over a little bit. But, you know, $1 million here, $1.4 million there, and another $3.89 million. And, you know, pretty soon we've run into real money. Even though the senator from Tumalo seems to not really yet understand the real money.
That's coming.
That's true. Further discussion. Seeing none, objections? We have Hannah Morgan Witsit. Is that it? Okay, very good. Motion carries. Good discussion. Thank you all. Senate Bill 5523, State Library, Education Concept Committee, Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5523 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Library. The mission of the Oregon State Library is to provide quality information services to Oregon state government, to provide reading material to blind and print-disabled Oregonians, and to provide leadership, grants, and other assistance to improve local library service for all Oregonians. The agency is funded through general fund, assessments on state agencies, donations, which enhance services provided by the agency's Talking Book and Braille program, and federal funds through the Library Services and Technology Act. The Education Subcommittee recommends a budget for the library of $3,358,907 in general fund, $6,795,454 in other funds, and $4,637,190 in federal funds. The recommendation increases general fund support for the Ready to Read grant program to local libraries by $286,006 for the 2007-09 biennium. This translates to an increase in per child funding from the current rate of 84 cents per child to $1 per child, with a $1,000 minimum grant for eligible libraries. The minimum grant level is dependent on the passage of HB 2116. Technical adjustments to the budget were made to ensure that staff time spent working on a web content management system for small public libraries is charged to Federal Library Services and Technology Act funds rather than state assessment revenues, which are restricted to activities that benefit state government. The subcommittee reviewed key performance measures and recommends adjusting targets for three measures based on timing and technical issues associated with data collection. The target for key performance measure number 8 should be adjusted upward to reflect the recommendation to approve an increase in the ready-to-read grant, and the Standards Board and Commission best practices measure should be added. The Education Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5523 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Very good. Thank you. Discussion. Representative Morgan, please.
This was a budget that was presented in the Education Subcommittee, and though I dearly love and support the State Library, I'm going to be a no vote on this because of the general fund component.
Thank you very much. Further discussion. Representative Hannah.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'll make a different point this time. colleagues, we keep talking about general fund and where this is going, and that, as the senator from Tumalo mentioned, he considers this insignificant. But here we are to at least a fourth of these budgets, including general fund dollars. We're looking at a 9.9% increase, a 12.5% increase, a 9.3% increase. Colleagues, we're walking down a difficult path here where not only are we spending this kind of money, but we're increasing the general fund budgets significantly. Let's be cautious.
Thank you for your comments. Further discussion? Seeing none, objections? We've got Representative Morgan and Representative Hannah. And Senator Witsit, of course. Anything else? Seeing none? Passed. Okay, Senate Bill 5526, the Marine Board, Natural Resource Subcommittee, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5526 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Marine Board. The Marine Board registers and licenses recreational boats, provides on-water law enforcement patrols through contracts with public safety agencies, and awards marine facility construction grants to local governments. The Marine Board receives no general fund support and is funded entirely by other and federal funds. The major other funds' revenue sources are registration and title fees and motorboat fuel taxes. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources approved a total budget of $33,825,158.39 FTE, which is equal to the governor's recommended budget and $4 million, or approximately 13.5% more than the 2005-2007 legislatively approved budget. The subcommittee approved $2,268,734 other funds and $2,190,519 federal funds in the budget to fund additional boating safety publications and outreach materials, the installation of low-power AM radio stations near coastal bars to notify boaters of hazardous conditions, providing technical advice and educational information to reduce environmental impacts of marina operations and boating, public recognition of marinas that comply with state and federal requirements voluntarily, increase payments to counties for law enforcement work, increase expenditures for boating infrastructure grants using federal grant dollars. The subcommittee approved continuation of 11 of the agency's 13 performance measures and added a new performance measure relating to best practices measure for board and commissions. Three measures were deleted that are more effectively covered by the new customer service measure, which is a more direct outcome-oriented measure of information availability. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends the bill to be reported out due pass, and by way of editorial comment, the chair and I think many members of the subcommittee enjoyed the presentation by the Marine Board, and personally I still feel it's one of the best managed state agencies we have.
Discussion. Seeing none. Objections? Seeing none. So ordered. Going to other bills. These are generally policy bills, but they have an appropriation attached to them. They'll be discussed in the policy, or have been, or will be discussed in the policy committees. So in deference to our colleagues that are trying to get home from Southern Oregon, Central and Eastern Oregon, if we can confine our comments to the appropriation, or in one case, I guess, to the ballot title itself, that would probably help things along a little bit. Let's start with Senate Bill 426A, relating to benefit plans for education district employees. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a motion before that?
Yes, sir.
I would like to move to refer Senate Bill 426 back to the subcommittee for further work.
Very good. So noted. Discussion?
Can I speak to the motion?
You sure can.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate this. I think this is one of the defining votes that we're going to take in this whole session. It's going to set the tenor for what we're going to do here. And I don't like what's happening in this whole situation because I think it's going to make us look bad. The fact is we have basically a food fight between the OEA and the OSBA. Nobody knows what the facts are. Nobody knows what's really the right thing to do here. It's on a fast track. It's probably going to come out on a partisan vote. I don't see how we come out looking good in this whole situation. One scenario that can potentially happen, and I'm being the loyal opposition here as one of the minority parties, but I made this motion in this forum. If it passes out, this motion is going to be made in the floor of the House or whatever committee. It's going to be made on the floor of the Senate. We're going to go through this huge battle not knowing what the effects of what this bill will do. Do we believe the teachers' union? Do we believe the OSBA? I think we need an additional study. And I think what's going to happen is it's going to become a political battle that I don't think we should be engaged in at this particular point, because the folks that will be voting for this, there's going to be a perception or an insinuation that perhaps there were some campaign contributions that affected your vote, because you don't know. We're going to get the ACE ethics reporter, David Hogan, is going to come to your desk and say, well, why did you vote for it? There's folks like Senator Nelson and Senator Morris who work both sides of the aisle, and they're very concerned about this. Why did you vote for this? And if you can come up with a good answer, I guess maybe that's good. But then he's going to say, well, how much did you receive in campaign contributions from a certain group? And so the next question is going to be as well, did any member of the governor's staff come to talk with you? And you're going to say, maybe yes or no. I don't know if they have or not. Well, did that affect your vote in any manner, shape, or form? Can you see that the perception of what we're doing here is just going to explode in on us and not make us look very good? I mean, our job here is to be very deliberative and to work through all these issues. This bill has not been worked. This is on the fast track, a partisan vote. We are not going to look good in this thing. And I think that we need a vote here on here to refer this back to the subcommittee, do our job, vet this thing, get an independent study. Well, I don't know whether the OEA is right. I don't know if the OSBE is right. I do know that my school district in Pendleton has come up with a line-by-line analysis using PEB, because that's all we've got to go on, and using Blue Cross tiers, and they say it's going to cost them money, or else it's going to cost the school teachers money. It's going to cost somebody money. We don't know that. We need to go back and do a very thoughtful job. We're not doing our job. And so I would ask that we refer this bill back to the subcommittee for further work to get a study. We're not in any hurry for this thing. I mean, we're going to be here until June 29th. And we also have a special session coming up in next February. Let's do the proper job and do our job as a state legislature. We can't have the executive branch of the government doing our job for us, dictating our votes. We can't have special interests dictating our votes. What we have to do is look at the facts, and I don't think we've got the facts in this case, in this bill, to make a good, valid decision. And if we pass this thing out, I think we all look bad.
Further comments? Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just a couple comments. Respectfully, I would say, number one, to try to get politics out of decisions that are made in this building are a little like trying to get financial decisions outside of decisions made in Wall Street. We make political decisions. We make policy decisions, but they have political ramifications, so I guess I don't really understand that point. Secondly, reporters are going to do what they do, and they're going to talk about campaign contributions, so if we refrain from acting every time we thought that the perceptions from reporters were going to be problematic, I think we would get absolutely nothing done. And maybe that would be good for some people. Third, on the fast-tracking, I think this is the most important point in terms of the motion. Number one is everyone knows, you don't have to be here for 6-10 years, that this concept and legislation very close to the specific bill has been around for years. There have been several studies. Do we have perfect information? We do not. Will we ever have perfect information to make decisions? I don't think so. But I think it's a little frustrating for me as the chair of the subcommittee that listened to over 35 people testify over 2 days for almost 4 hours, plus the fact that it went through a Senate policy committee where they heard I don't know how much testimony and how many people. It's a little bit frustrating to hear that this was quote-unquote fast-tracked. You can disagree on the analyses. You can disagree on the process. But I personally, and I think others who supported it on the committee, and I'll let some of them are here and they can speak to that, made the decision based on the evidence, the analyses, and also the fact that we do know the status quo is unsustainable. Double-digit health care cost increases are not sustainable. So I don't see an alternative plan, and I think the pooling for administrative costs are going to result in significant savings. So I would oppose the motion.
Thank you. Representative Thorard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just speaking that I concur with those comments made by Senator Nelson. This bill has been fast-tracked, and we do not have enough information, so I will be supporting Senator Nelson's motion.
Very good, sir. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, will be supporting the motions, but I would like to make a couple of comments beyond that. First off, I'd like to observe that I don't believe you get a handle on the health care costs by playing with the insurance. I think the healthcare industry, and there's a lot of work being done and has been done during the interim by members of this body, trying to get a handle on the healthcare costs. So I don't believe using that as the rationale to move this forward is necessarily something that is overwhelmingly persuasive for me. I would, however, and going on just a little bit and kind of disagreeing with my senator, and I don't do this very often because he lives uphill from me. And
still rocks.
The idea of, what may be the political ramifications that comes out in newspapers or anything of that nature doesn't, when I complain and make those comments at home, my wife simply looks at me and says, but nobody forced you to sign the thing to run for office. That just kind of goes with it. So for being abused as a state representative or a state senator, I'll just pass on her comments to you. The thing I think that bothers me on this bill, if I can use an illustration again, one used by natives, I think originally probably in other parts of the world than we have here, but talking about elephants. When two elephants fight, and I would submit to you that's agreeing with my senator that that's what we've had here, is two elephants fighting, the OSBA and the teachers union. And I've at one time or another paid dues in both of those organizations, so you understand that. When two elephants fight, the only thing that really hurts is the ground. And when two elephants fight in this building, the only thing that really hurts is the people. So I think to have a definitive study on this behooves us as a body to examine that very carefully. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I don't know if each individual on this collective board had the chance to tune in to the subcommittee discussion that we had in the Education Subcommittee under Representative Galizio's gavel, but it was a very robust discussion, and it went on for some time, and I do appreciate the sub-chairs, the way that he handled both the information testimony portion of it and the discussion around the bill, because I think he did a very good job. This came out basically on a party line vote, and there were a great many issues brought forward that members of the subcommittee had great concern around. I think that it is very accurate to say that there were no school districts or community colleges that came forward and supported this bill. They did come forward with very detailed and very fact-oriented questions that they had about the impact that the language in in the bill would have armed the way that they were doing things currently, and very detailed and very pointed questions about whether this would or would not have a positive impact on their ability to move money in the classroom. I think that we are left with very legitimate questions about whether or not this is going to impact positively the financial situation of school districts. Some school districts, any school districts, or all school districts. We simply don't have enough information. It was brought up and discussed that this bill has been around for some time. I worked a lot on this bill during the 03 session, and I think that the point needs to be made that the information from the 03 session is old information at this point. Parts of it may or may not apply to this discussion because the industry itself has changed greatly over that period of time. I think the other point that was brought out, that these are two political titans that are clubbing each other over the head, is a good point too, because the rest of the information is put out on the table by people that have a very vested interest in the outcome of it. The potential impacts of this bill on education funding are huge. There are legitimate questions around whether there are savings, whether those savings accrue to the employees of the school districts because of the way that the caps are structured, what percentage of increase is going to be necessary before any savings are available to be applied in other places in the budgets. All those are legitimate questions. There's legitimate questions around the potential for the cost of insurance to come down with the pooling into one large pool because the people that are insured in Oregon are already pooled into very large pools. So legitimate questions exist all over the place. I do appreciate Senator Nelson's motion to put this back into the subcommittee for further work, and I will support it. But I think that without further direction to allow a study to go forth, we're just going to be in the spin cycle on this bill. The politics of this are very distressing, and I do understand the comments that you're making, Senator, around the politics of this and around the perception of the public, because one of the great hills that we have to climb is that the citizens don't have trust in what we do, and if we're going to get to a place where they do trust the decisions that this body is making, we have to show them that we're making those decisions on a solid basis of fact. And I think in this situation, we are not doing that.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Absolutely critical discussion from the senators over there.
But all senators' discussions are critical.
Okay. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are a couple of things here. One of them, the idea that this is rushed. 4 years is not really rushed. 3 sessions is not really rushed. Continuous debate, session after session about this is not really rushed. I believe I carried this bill with Senator Deckard on the Senate floor in the last session. I wish I had a good one, or a good rebuttal for the good representative from Pendleton about studies. But I'm sure there's a good quote out there about studies. Of studies, studies, more studies. There's been 3 studies. Watson Wyatt, the Mercer actuarial report, and the Aon actuarial report. All of them concluded that there would be administrative savings by pooling. I don't know how much longer you study things. I do have a good quote about committees. The definition of a committee is hours lost and minutes taken. So if I interject one quote there. But the other thing here is you want absolute assurances that every decision that you will make will have exactly the ramifications that you want it to have. If you want that in this particular body,
I don't think that we meet biennially or annually. I think we meet continuously, and then we take 10 years before we make any critical decision. We made a critical decision not long ago where we did not have all of the information, where we could have studied it to death, that has saved us literally tens of millions, if not ultimately hundreds of millions of dollars. That decision was to issue pension obligation bonds. We took a chance by issuing those pension obligation bonds. The economy theoretically could have declined, and we wouldn't have had the fantastic earnings that we had on those pension obligation bonds that has reduced substantially our unfunded liability under PERS. School districts, many did issue pension obligation bonds, some did not. Some of those I was discussing with one of those school districts the other day, this bill. And in this particular bill, they said that they needed more details. And they wanted more assurances that anything that we did would have exactly the same circumstances. And I asked them about why they didn't make the decision about pension obligation bonds, and they didn't give me a very good answer. They didn't make that decision. Now that school district is paying that price, and that's a pretty heavy price. If you want to look at PERS rates and see what's happened to school districts that did participate in pension obligation bonds versus those that did, it's dramatic. We will never have every single answer. People will always want another study. I think it's time that we actually make a decision on this, and I'll live with the political ramifications of that decision, as I think both people that vote yes and no on this will.
Senator Bates. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to make some comments. I'm hoping that the comments we're making in the robust discussion we're having right now will, whether this is referred back to committee or not, will not be repeated if it's not referred back to committee when we step forward the bill itself. So I want to make that the opening statement here. I've agonized over this bill, as many of us have, for the last several weeks. And I'm going to draw on my 25 years of experience in the healthcare field, not just as a physician, but as someone who had to help shape policy for that 25 years. The healthcare industry at this point, if you can call it that, the healthcare system, if you can call it that, is in ferment right now. Double-digit inflation for the last 5, 6, 7 years has made the system reach almost a tipping point. And I think in the very near future, if we don't reform the entire system, it will tip, and the system we now know will collapse. And we don't have time for that discussion today, and I wouldn't bring it forward. This particular piece of it is important to that, but it's not the final answer. I have not been the darling of the OEA in the past, and I won't be in the future. And those OEA members who may be in the room know that to be true. We've had our huge differences. So from my point of view, politics was taken out of this, even though I'm a Democrat. So this is not a political decision for me, at least. I've looked at this carefully. I've gone back and forth in my mind. I've probably changed my vote more on this one issue more than any other I've ever faced in this legislature. In the end, I felt the preponderance of evidence was this is something we should go forward with. You will not get a study that will give you a final answer on this. You will not get a study that will get a final answer. We have had those kinds of studies in other areas of health care and never came up with an answer that can predict the future. The only way you'll know if this is going to save money or not is to put it in place and monitor it carefully over the next 2 years. This is statutory. In 2 years, if this is not effective, this hasn't produced the results we wanted, we have to pull it back. And the proponents of it have to understand this can be pulled back. And they'll pay a political price for bringing something forward that wasn't grounded. But nobody knows for sure on something like this. You only can take the preponderance of evidence and make the best decisions you can. I greatly appreciate what I call the loyal opposition. Senator Nelson, you are a personal friend of mine. Senator Morris, you're a personal friend of mine. And the others are friends also. Your points are well taken. But the overall evidence for this is we should go forward, monitor it carefully, make sure it performs the way it should, and be ready and open to say to ourselves, if it hasn't done that, those of us who voted for it will pull it back. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Thank you, Senator. Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I, too, have agonized over this bill, and I've not been convinced on either side of the numbers, and that bothered me for a long time. I have not been visited by anyone from the governor's office. But there's something that has bothered me a lot about the last session. And that was that bills that came through, I was not allowed to debate on because they were cut off at the pass. No one even heard the bill. And that has bothered me a great deal, that bills that were coming through, this was one of them. This bill came, and perhaps if we had been able to have the debate in 03, we wouldn't be sitting here today trying to make up a decision about how we're going to do with this bill. And so I believe I'm going to vote for the bill today to let it be thorough in the process, transparent, not cut off at the pass, not interfered with by the politics of it, and let people debate it and vote the way that they want to vote.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I would speak in favor of the motion to move this back to committee. From the perspective of this bill file, it's almost as though we're not listening. If you look at the data that's in my file, and I suspect all of your files are the same way, the data, it raises more questions than it provides answers. And when we have that circumstance, and you have a bill that's on a fast track, and colleagues, this is on a fast track, it begs the question of whether we're making a sound business decision or whether we're following political paths in this process. And when I look at the level of information that's been provided on both sides of this issue, it clearly, in my mind, does not rise to the level of sufficiency required to make an informed business decision about whether this is a good bill or not. And that's why Representative Morgan and I offered an amendment in committee that said, let's have an objective analysis done by people that do not have an axe to grind one way or the other, led by our legislative fiscal office. And that was not approved in committee. There's more work to be done on this bill. And for us to move this forward with the uncertainties that we have today, it just begs the political question, not the business decision question. My entire experience in business has been to evaluate something and assess the risk. This bill has huge risks, and it's not ready to move forward. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Gorley.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to support the motion, the good senator's motion, and I have a question, one question. We've had at least 4 years to seek an independent study, at least 4 years to get to that objective analysis. Why didn't that happen? That's the question.
Does Gary have a response?
Not necessarily seeking a response from Senator Nelson. I'm asking the question for anyone who has a response to the question to refer to.
Senator Devlin?
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Gorley, my understanding, and I wanted to clarify on the third one because I'm not absolutely clear on that one. The first study, the Watson and Wyatt study, I believe, was commissioned by OEA. The Mercer study, I believe, was commissioned by OSBA. And the third study, which I'm not sure about, the Aon study, I thought it was related to PEB, that PEB had actually at least guided that study. And I don't know if Ms. Thorne wants to comment.
Ms. Thorne, you can ask a comment, I think.
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, Gene Thorne, Administrator of the Public Employees Benefit Board. I was not at PEB at that time. AM Consulting was and is the consultant for PEB, and I do believe the previous administrator was involved in working with AON on that particular study.
And if I might comment further, some of the discussion we had in committee from Watson and Wyatt was in terms of the administrative costs, which is, I think, something that's clear through all three studies, whether they were done by OEA, OSBA, or with the assistance of PEB, was all concluded that there were administrative cost savings. All concluded that there were administrative cost savings, including Mercer under OSBA. The other thing to keep in mind here is that I've been around these discussions for so long, I think I can almost do it in reverse. Getting OSBA to the table to even actually discuss the merits of looking at pooling has been very difficult over the last 4 years. I mean, I think sometimes it's the old adage that you have here in the building is that you make choices in terms of how you oppose bills. If you believe that the bill is going to pass but you want modifications in it, then you work with people to try to basically affect some of those compromises that might be necessary. But if you believe that the bill is going to die, you basically don't do anything. And you just persist in trying to ensure that the bill will die. I clearly think that, and Senator Bates is more of an expert on health care than I probably ever will be, I clearly don't believe that you're ever going to see any study that's going to show you exact detail and predict the future in exact detail of what's going to come under any circumstances. I think there's many variables in this study, if not more, than we have in our own forecasts of revenue. And if any of you here believe our forecasts of revenue are 99% accurate, I don't believe you should be on this committee. We always take risks with almost every decision that we make in a major context in this building. I'm willing to actually take those risks, and one of the reasons I'm willing is I serve on the school revenue forecast committee. In determining the essential budget level for K-12, we're adding $180 million for health care for this coming biennium, $180 additional. We really don't have a choice here. We have to do something. Staying with the status quo is not a choice.
I appreciate everyone's interest in the policy of this particular bill, but I would remind everyone this is Ways and Means. And theoretically, we're supposed to be talking about the appropriation, and just if anyone want to throw that in just at one point, it'd be kind of good. I kind of desire for a policy discussion since we rarely get to do that down here. It's notes duly noted, but it would be awesome if someone comes up. Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. In response to Senator Gordon's question, I think that Representative Devlin has done a good job of recapping it. My recollection is that the AON study was requested by the PEB director back then. We didn't have any money for the study, so AON graciously took it on as a charity case type study and did it without any funding. My recollection of that discussion was that when we actually parsed the data down to the school district level, we found out that there were school districts that benefited from the bill and school districts that were it cost money to implement it, and so there were the losers. And at that point, we essentially ran out of time and the session ended. In the 03 session, there was the discussion was around, again, funding to do a study. We were in the throes of the worst recession that any of us had ever dealt with, and money was very scarce. And so funding a study at that point, I think, wasn't an option. In the 05 session, there was no discussion on this bill at all on the House side. There was, I don't remember hearing requests from the Senate to do a study on the bill at all, or any appropriation requests that were made in the 05 session on the bill. The I think that this is, again, a matter of just reality unfolding and the body reacting to the situations that we faced fiscally as we went through all of the other gyrations that we go through to get budgets and policy bills out of the building. But I think that that still begs the question about why we're all standing here with bill folders that have extremely detailed and technical and well thought out questions to this bill that are unanswered, and very few letters in there that have the same kind of tack from the support side that point out functionally how this bill is going to benefit school districts. And we're going ahead and passing this bill out. I very much concur that we need to do more work on it.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Nelson and Senator.
Can I close this up?
No. Senator Whitsitt wants to get his.
Well, go ahead.
Senator Whitsitt, go right ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. You know, for me, this is like a business decision we're making for the taxpayer. And I don't make business decisions for myself until it pencils out. And I don't think we should be making the business decisions for the taxpayer until it pencils out. We do not have consensus on the financial benefits or costs of Senate Bill 426. And I think we should wait until we have the facts before we move it forward. So I will support Senator Nelson's motion.
Very good, sir. Chair Nelson, bring us home, hopefully. Yeah.
Two quick comments. We do have a study. When this came out, Pendleton School District did a study. They compared the PEB rates, the Blue Cross tier rates, the Blue Cross unit rates, and their district cap rates, the ones that they're actually using right now. Their analysis, on-the-ground analysis, with what the existing policies that are out there right now, will cost the Pendleton School District on an annual basis $764,900. So we have an actual study. We didn't talk about all these theoretical things, but this is on the ground. And that's why I'm making this motion, is because I've got a school district coming to me and saying, this is going to cost me $760,000 on an annual basis. And somebody's going to have to pay that. It's either going to be the teachers, because they're in a cap, or it's going to be the school district when they get back to collective bargaining.
Okay. And I'll close this with
this statement. This is something from former Senator Lenny Hannon. Yeah, I used to sit in front of him when I was my first year in the session, and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, Nelson, he said, this bill, whatever bill it was a dog in 1977, and it's a dog in 1977, and now it's a dog in 1997. Don't vote for it. So, you know, it's just a little wisdom from the past, and I really do believe that we need to look at this much closer, because it could have a huge impact upon my school districts, and I have 23 school districts within my district. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you all for a very good discussion. I appreciate the tenor of the discussion, and would note that this is a problem when policy bills come down to Ways and Means. Unfortunately, the politics from upstairs enters into it, and that doesn't hopefully affect our budgets as we go through the process. Good discussion. Well, let's go through. We had the discussion. Let's go with a roll call vote on this bill, please.
On the motion to refer.
I apologize. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair.
This is the motion to refer Senate Bill 426 back to subcommittee.
Yes, sir.
Representative Morgan.
Yes.
Representative Hamm.
Yes.
Representative Jensen.
Yes.
Representative Gerard.
Yes.
Representative Galizia.
No.
Representative Shields.
No.
Representative Edwards.
No.
Vice Chair Nathans.
No.
Co-Chair Nolan.
No.
Senator Westland.
No.
Senator Gordley.
Yes.
Senator Johnson.
No.
Senator Bates.
No.
Senator Devlin.
No.
Senator Morris.
Yes.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
No.
Senator Whitsitt?
Yes.
Vice Chair Carter?
No.
Co-Chair Schrader?
No.
The motion fails.
Very good. All right, so we're back to the original motion, Senate Bill 426A, recommended do pass with the A-10 amendments. Further discussion.
That one hasn't carried yet.
I have a pony. Oh, you need a pony.
Need
I'm
a
sorry.
Pony.
I'm way ahead. I'm sure you
yes,
can
we
get,
do.
Since we've already talked,
with feeling.
I'm sure a good paragraph would be in order, Senator. Okay.
chart.
This is the fiscal portion.
Wow. Thank you. I knew someone would get to it.
Senate Bill 426 establishes the Oregon Educators Benefit Board, hereafter referred to as the OEBB, to contract for health, dental, and other benefits for certain school districts, education service districts, and community college districts. The Education Subcommittee approved establishment of the board in the current biennium to meet the October 1st, 2008 deadline for the implementation of available plans. The board members are expected to be appointed and employees hired in the next couple of months to begin the implementation process. The subcommittee approved a general fund appropriation of $136,847 to the Oregon Department of Education for the cost of OEBB in the current biennium. The Oregon Department of Education will transfer the funds to the Department of Administrative Services Public Employees Benefit Board, which will oversee implementation of the board. Also approved was an increase of other funds limitation of $184,524 and five positions, 0.46 FTE, for PEB, to expend the general fund and cover the additional costs they will have in the current biennium. The Education Subcommittee approved a general fund appropriation of $4,996,081 for the Department of Education and other funds limitation of $5,496,282 and 22 positions, 18.63 FTE, for the Department of Administrative Services for costs of the OEBB in the 2007-2009 biennium. An amendment was adopted that clarified the intent of the OEBB is to repay the general fund and PEM for implementation cost by June 30th, 2011. OEBB is allowed to charge an administrative assessment that is expected to generate $1,500,000 during the 2007-2009 biennium. The subcommittee did not recommend any limitation associated with the assessment. The Department of Administrative Services may return the emergency board to the emergency board or the 2009 legislative session to request limitation once more is known about how much will actually be generated by the assessment. It should be noted that any shortfall in the $1,500,000 will need to be backfilled with general fund. There is an expectation that the Oregon Educators Benefit Board will appear before the Joint Legislative Audit Committee before the next legislative session to have performance measures approved for the program. The Education Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 426 be amended and reported out do pass as amended.
Very good, Senator. Thank you. Discussion? Representative Jensen and Representative Morgan.
Just a note, Mr. Chair, I'll be voting yes here, but not committing for a yes vote on the floor.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'll keep this very brief. While I'm applying my removable tire tracks to my back. this is, I think, the purpose of the Ways and Means process is to do fiscal analysis on bills, to come up with the fiscal impact that a bill is going to have. The fiscal impact that we've heard on this bill is related to the building and the implementation of the Benefits Board, and we have heard no fiscal impact at all beyond that. I think that it is an incredible failure of this process that we've chosen as a fiscal committee, as the numbers committee, as the budgeting committee in this body to completely ignore the fiscal impact of this bill on the school districts in the state. And for that reason, Mr. Chair, I will be a no vote.
Thank you very much. Further discussion? Senator Gorelick and Senator Morris.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. The information that I received from the Oregon School Boards Association about the impact analysis on my district, Senate District 23, indicates that there would be at least a $1.3 million impact over a biennium. And further, information indicated that a mandatory state government-run health insurance pool will cost Oregon taxpayers more, not less, and possibly $65 million more statewide over the biennium. I have to take that information into consideration as I cast my vote, which will be a no vote this morning.
Thank you, Senator.
Mayor Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And this question is a fiscal-related question.
Excellent, sir.
So we'll try that on. Let's speak for a moment that, with the assumption that, in fact, there are significant savings. And it would be, I think, important for all of us to understand how those savings would accrue and how they would be applied. And if legislative fiscal or the carrier or any of us can answer that question, I think it really speaks to this this bill. And let's just assume there are savings and they are significant. What happens to them?
Darren, would you like to come up and chat? Senator Devlin, my loquacious friend, please.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The savings that would occur in this bill, like everything else that you even have under the current system, would be subject to collective bargaining for those employees that are represented. Most school districts have in place caps of different types. Some may have percentage caps. Some may have actual dollar limitations. All those items are normally negotiated, and they continue to be negotiated. Should there be a reduction in cost, I would believe that that would be continue to be negotiated. There might be, I think it's in the Aon study, there might be both benefits to employees and to employers, given the expectation that the rates would be lower than what they will be under in the future in the current system. I do think it's also important to note that one of the things that was discussed extensively in the subcommittee was a concern about comparing, in terms of trying to determine cost, this proposal based to the most expensive proposed insurance under TEP, referring to it as being comparable. Well, the reality is it is not comparable. OSBA plan has a deductible. Our PEB does not. The PEB plan includes coverage for mental health parity. The OSBA plan at the time does not. I believe that the OSBA plan does not include the same coverage for heart disease, diabetes, and asthma as the PEB plan. There are also a number of other smaller differences between the plans. Also, there are different dates in terms of when the numbers were taken. They took the newest numbers from PEB, and they took the older numbers from OSBA. A difference of a few months, but a difference in terms of when rates are being set and when they're being agreed to. But I think that's the problem I think that I had, really the biggest problem I had, in some of the presentations for costs of districts, is it was based on a clear comparison between what's being offered under OSBA choice and the most expensive plan under PEP. And I want to be careful how I say this so I don't offend anyone, but you understand that for school districts, employees and employers share more in the costs of their health care than they do in state government. Now, that's because of history and everything else, but understand that our employees at the state level may pay copays. They may actually only have percentages of things covered, but they do not share in the cost of the policies themselves, which they do in most cases in school districts.
Thank you, Senator.
Yes.
Follow-up.
Follow-up question. With respect to my district, one of the schools in my district, one of the larger ones, I've received a copy of the labor agreement, and in that district there's a cap, and the labor agreement is very specific with respect to any reductions in cost will buy down the cost sharing by the employees. And so that begs then the question, if in fact this bill is being promoted as providing additional resources to expand educational opportunities, will in fact it deliver that, or will it be a buy down for employees' share of the cost? Now, I'm not opposed to that, but I am opposed to a bill that is being portrayed as expanding additional resources for educational opportunities to reduce class sizes, to increase course offerings, to improve the quality of education in Oregon, as it has been portrayed, when in fact it may not deliver any of that. And the calculation, and again, I have no reason to disbelieve OSBA's calculation, when you roll up that collective bargaining language for all of the districts in Oregon, it would require savings in excess of 12% before any of the dollars would actually go into expanded educational opportunities. So I believe it's important that we cast our vote today on the basis of understanding, in fact, where these administrative savings and whatever savings may accrue, actually how they will be applied, and what the impact truly will be on education. Now, when you factor in issues like that, it raises the whole question of the level of information upon which we are making a decision today, and it's inadequate. Mr. Chair, it's inadequate.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Yes, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, and I will stay quite brief. Members, though they have been characterized as insignificant with the imminent passage of the nearly $5 million in general fund here, we will exceeded $18 million in general fund budget passage this morning, and many millions more in other unidentified other funds contributions to these budgets. And again, I would issue caution that we are moving at a pace that without the full picture is difficult to keep up with.
Representative Nolan. Co-Chair Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, the discussion I've heard today helps remind me why there are 90 of us in this building, because no one of us can make the best decision for the people of Oregon. I think we need to hear the different voices, both from different parts of the state and from different professional backgrounds. And I thank you for the opportunity to listen to the debate this morning. I enter this vote assuming that everyone here is making their best personal judgment about the merits of this bill. And I understand that some people here believe that the risk that this bill assumes is too great and not justified by the potential and likely rewards that will accrue as a result of it. I don't share that opinion. And I hope that those of you who don't support the bill will respect those of us who do and understand that we have studied it very carefully, and that for us, the benefits that we expect to accrue from it are worth the risk that we acknowledge.
Excellent comment. Further discussion? Seeing none, we'll go to a roll call vote on the motion.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Hanna?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Galizio?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Yes.
Co-Chair Nolan?
Yes.
Senator Westland?
Aye.
Senator Gordley?
No.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Dedlin?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
No.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Whitsitt?
No.
Vice Chair Carter?
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good. We'll look forward to this discussion on our respective floors. Motion carries.
Next item, Senate Bill 549A, relating to elections, or election bill. Senator Schrader, that would be me. Senate Bill 549.
That's you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Sets the special election procedures for a statewide vote on Senate Joint Resolution 3.
Okay.
Senate Joint Resolution 3 is a proposed constitutional amendment that would redirect the corporate 2% surplus kicker credits to a state rainy day fund. Senate Bill 549 sets a special election date for May 15, 2007, includes the official ballot title, financial impact statement, and explanatory statement for the voter's pamphlet. Due to the timing necessary to get the measure through both chambers for the special election, we've gone right to the full committee. Proposed amendments to the bill will appropriate $835,000 to the Secretary of State for the cost of the special election. Approximately $235,000 will pay for the cost of the statewide voters pamphlet. The remaining $600,000 will be used to reimburse counties for election costs. The amendment also makes a minor technical language change. I move that the Ways and Means Committee adopt the -85 amendment and report Senate Bill 549 out, do pass as amended. Discussion. Representative Morgan.
I'm curious as to whether this is a revenue-raising measure or not. What was the discussion around that?
This is actually just an election bill with an appropriation in it. This is not the revenue-raising portion of any package here.
But the impact to this is to raise revenue to the state of Oregon if it is implemented by the citizens. Is that
not for Senate Bill 549? Senate Bill 549 just pays for the election and does the explanatory statement. That's what you're talking about would be in a different bill.
I have a great deal of discomfort with voting this through without being able to have a discussion on the underlying bill and having it be so out of context. There's been no subcommittee discussion on this. I'm just very uneasy with this.
Certainly. Further discussion? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. A question, if I may. Page 2, line 31 and 32, the reference is expected contributions to the rainy day savings account if ballot measure 49, which would be SJR 3, is approved at $50 million per year. And I'm wondering, is that in fact $50 million per year or $50 million per biennium? And the reason I raise the question is, based on my study and understanding of the history of the corporate kicker, that would seem to me to be a generous forecast of $100 million per biennium. And I'm wondering if that is intended to be $50 million per year or $50 million per biennium.
We'll let our staff answer that question. We'll see if we can get
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, for the Ways and Means Committee, we did not look at this section of the bill in any great detail. Our responsibility was to fill in the blank on page 5 of the bill, which was the main intent of our amendment. I think this bill came out of the Senate Revenue Committee, and I believe that discussion would have occurred there.
Okay, thank you.
Good point. Further discussion? Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Co-Chair Schrader. In following up what Representative Morgan mentioned, I don't believe that this bill can be separated from the underlying policy, and I will be a no for that reason. And I'm reasonably confident that you don't want to start a debate on the policy of the issue. Can I assume that?
Yes, sir.
But I do not believe that we can separate. I think it's a matter of asking the people of Oregon to rob selected Peter to pay collective Paul, and I'm just not going there.
It's fair comment, sir. Thank you. Further discussion? Yes, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I may have missed this or just don't remember, but on page 3, line 17, earlier this year, the Oregon Legislature established the Rainy Day Savings Account to hold any funds that result from the passage of ballot measure 49. What activity did we...
This bill only becomes effective if
the Senate Bill 48 and SGR 3 passed. So this is will obviously be something the voters will be seeing after we leave, or after these bills have been passed.
Follow up? But I still don't understand what activity we did that established the rainy day savings account.
That would be SGR 3 would have to pass.
So while the explanatory statement says that, it really hasn't happened. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Not yet, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Objections? We've got Representative Morgan, Representative Hannah, and Senator Ritzel. And, excuse me, Representative Garg. Thank you. Very good. Motion carries. Very good. We accomplished our work today. I would encourage all members not to be booking themselves out Friday, because we'll probably have full Ways and Means Committees. We've got a lot of budgets going through. You guys are doing great work in the subcommittees. So please plan your calendars around being here for full Ways and Means. Thank you all. We're adjourned.
Thank you.